And I don't get to go out and preach much. You probably know that and know why now. but I tell you, I enjoy it. I really enjoy talking about the Lord. There's nothing better that you can do than talk about Jesus Christ. Your Bible is probably the most precious thing you'll ever have in your life. If you ever get to the place where, and I'm sure your Bible believers, you know that, but it'll sustain you. It'll get you through just about everything. There's tons and tons and tons of stories in here. So not all just don'ts, do. There's a bunch of do's in here. And then there's a bunch of stories where you get back and forth through this thing, and it builds you up, and it says, I can do it too. It's like the little choo-choo, you know, that went up the mountain. I can do it. One of these days, you'll top over that thing, and you'll come down the other side so quick it'll make your head spin. But you don't have to ever worry about that. Lord's got that thing under control. All you got to do is like what they just said, let go of the stuff in the world. You know, we sang that last song there, Complete in Thee. It's probably one of my favorite songs. Man, I like all the songs. They're all great. But the way that thing, complete in Thee, no work of mine. But the last verse says, dear Savior, when before thy throne, before thy bar, all tribes and tongues assembled are, among thy chosen will I be at thy right hand, complete in Thee. Justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me. And I was over crying, man. I mean, the tears just running in my face for what he did for me. I could just see those five wounds in his hands. And I can hear his father listening to him as he's talking for me up there. He says, hey, Lord, forgive him. It's just Mike, man. It's just Mike. You got to forgive him. He's trying his best. Just forgive him. And I think that thing, and I'm like, Lord, why would you do that for me? He goes, because I love you. And I care for you. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings tonight. Father, thank you for your blessing so far. Lord, thank you for all these young people, the older people in the church. And Lord, just thank you for just the years, Lord, that we got to know some things about you. Thank you for a precious book that you've given us. Lord, that has story after story after story after story after story from Genesis to Revelation to show us that others before us have done exactly what you're asking us to do today. Lord, there's no new thing under the sun, and Lord, what's happening to us today is no new thing either. Lord, we can do what they did, and Lord, this book will strengthen us to do that. I just pray that you'd bless it now. And Father, we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24, the story is another battle going on. In 24 it says, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a calf of dung, a dove's dung, for 5 pieces of silver. Now, you haven't got to the place, I can't imagine eating a cow tongue. My dad used to tell me all the time, he used to eat cow brains and pig brains and this stuff. I mean, I've never done that. My daughter won't even eat McDonald's. She thinks it's bad. Our new society that we live in is totally different than what the older people raised up in. But not only that, the dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. People were eating dove's dung. I mean, I don't need to go any further than that. It was pretty bad. It hasn't been that bad for us quite yet. I don't know of anybody in here that didn't have something to eat today other than dove's dung. And we haven't been surrounded, although it's been a crazy year. It really has been a crazy year. We haven't been surrounded by Ben-Hadad's army or any army yet to tell us we can't do certain things. Chapter 7, verse 1, Ben-Hadad, or the king, gets really upset with Elijah. And he blames him for everything. And he's getting ready to go kill him. And then Elisha, in chapter 7, verse 1, says, then Elisha said, hear ye the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. Verse 3, and there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? Father, again, thank you for your blessings and just thank you for the meeting so far. Lord, what a blessing it is just to be able to be around brethren. like-minded, Lord, who just want to do something for you. Lord, I just pray this message would be something for all of us to help us get through what we're going through right now. And Father, we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. I was thinking about these four leprous men after preaching the other message. This message popped in my head, and I questioned the Lord about it, and this is what I feel like he wanted me to do. Here's these four leprous men outside. Now, I don't know how much you know about leprous men, but one of my favorite missionaries was down in PBI. He was over I forget the country overseas, but he was around lepers his whole life. Tommy Tillman, Brother Tillman. And I had pictures of him hugging lepers and people with their noses missing and their ears missing. All your extremities is usually what goes first. And I, you know, as you go through your Bible and you get into the New Testament, you see where the Lord heals them. I think in my mind he heals them and their fingers come back and their toes come back and their nose comes back on their face. I think of those 10 lepers walking down through there and they came back and the Lord healed them. And the one came back to thank God for what he did. So many times I think what we do is we forget to thank the Lord for what he does for us in our lives. I think of these four lepers sitting outside the gate and they're sitting there and I mean, they're lepers, so they can't go in the city. But hey, the city's surrounded by Ben-Hadad, so we're in trouble now anyways. The four lepers depended on what was given to them from the city. But now there's nothing in the city. They're starving in the city. The passage just before this in verse 7, two ladies, one sacrificed her son, and they ate him. And the next day they were going to eat the other one, and the lady hid her son, and she brings it to the king, and the king almost throws up and says, "Oh, I can't believe this happened. It's Elisha's fault. It's not Elisha's fault. Things happen in life. It just really does. Sometimes things happen. And God sometimes allows us to go through things so that we won't forget him. Here's these four lepers, leprous men. They're outside the gate, man. They're just out there. They're dying. I said they depend on the inside for survival. And all of a sudden, they realize something. They can't help us no more. Do you know, really, in the long run, this world cannot help you? It never could help you, and it never will help you. And if you're dependent on it, they sang that last song right there. You got to let the earthly riches and worldly stuff go away off to the wayside and just let it go. I don't mind if you get a job and you make a living, and I don't mind if you make lots of money. They're tithe, man, just tithe. No, I'm just joking. I tell my church all the time, I said, make all the money you want. The box is on the back of the wall. Just put the 10% in, or, you know, 15, 20 be fine too. But, you know, you joke about this stuff, and I really do. The Lord is always providing, and he starts in your life sometimes providing in a way that you would never think that he'd ever do that. Here's these four guys sitting out here, and they come up and say, and there were four lepers, men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit here till we die?" You know, what I know about these four guys is they studied their situation. Have you ever thought about what's going on in the world today? It's crazy. But it really has nothing to do with us. You may get sick. My mom got sick, and I know some other. President Trump got sick with COVID, and everybody that gets sick with COVID does not die. Everybody that gets sick does not go to the hospital. I tell you what, everybody that gets hit by a car doesn't go to the hospital either. Everybody that gets pneumonia doesn't go to the hospital. It's just certain ones do, and sometimes people do, and sometimes people do get hurt, and sometimes people do die. That just happens. That's part of life. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, I'm telling you what, man, after this, complete in thee. I have never been so happy. I mean, today I can still sing songs and still cry. And still think of Jesus dying for me at the cross. And one of these days, I'm going to take my last breath. And when I do, man, the whole world, I mean, it's just going to open up. I mean, you're talking about beginning. There is no end. Have you ever grabbed a hold of the thought that your life really is eternal before you got saved? We were destined to a place called hell before we got saved. We got saved, you were destined to a place called heaven after you got saved. Both places are eternal. My soul is eternal. I'm going somewhere forever. It just so happens the Lord revealed to me in 1980 that I could have a choice in that matter. These guys right here have a choice. They studied their situation. They said, if we enter into the city, well, number one, they can't enter into the city because they're unclean. They couldn't go in there if they wanted to. They just sit there and started thinking about the thing. Then they said, if we stay here at the gate, well, there's no food inside the city. There's no food anywhere around the city. If we stay here, we're going to die. He says, now therefore come and let us fall into the hands of the Syrians. They said, I got three choices here. I can. You know what's wrong? A lot of times is we've never got into our life where we had to get to a place where we had to make a choice. life just kind of goes on. Sometimes God puts us in a place, the Lord Jesus Christ allows us to get into a place where that choice has to be made. And you have to get into a place and you think the whole world is falling apart in your life, and it's really not falling apart in your life. He has to get you to a place, and sometimes it takes time to get you there. I went through a situation in 1980 after I got saved that I couldn't make a decision about Jesus Christ. I just didn't know how to do it. I was a babe in Christ. I didn't have the understanding. And he ran me through a scenario for 7 years. And at the end of that 7 years almost, and I had preacher after preacher, big preachers tell me, Mike, you've done everything right. You're okay. You would be justified no matter what you did. You would be. I said, I can't. I got to wait on God to tell me what to do. I mean, he told me how to get saved. I said, surely he'll tell me how to get through this thing. And I had to wait for 7 years. And people said, I couldn't wait for 7 years. Well, then do it, man. You'll never get the answer from God that you're looking for. I'm looking for an answer from him, not from anybody else. I don't want man's answers. Man's answers cannot give me the peace in my heart that I need. I need it from him, because I got to go through this life and keep going through this life, and I got to get up every morning and face this world and look at it and say, I need Jesus to guide and direct. I like Jeremiah says, it's not within man to direct his steps. You couldn't direct your steps if you wanted to. You got to get to the place where you're just complete in him, and everything you have is in him, and it takes a while. Well, anyways, after 7 years, almost to the day, he put me right back in the same situation that I was in 7 years earlier. Same, I mean, within probably 3 feet of where I was at in 1980. In 1987, that question was posed to me again, exactly like it was in 1980. And the Lord said, now what are you going to do with that? I'm like, there ain't no question about it now, man. I said, I'm on your side. I said, you can do whatever you want to do. You can give me whatever I need, but this other party can't give me what they're asking me. I said, I'm going to trust you. I said, I'm going to trust you. You know, I got at that moment, I got perfect peace about that. And I mean, it's just like it overwhelmed me across my soul. It was just perfect. What I didn't know, and I was telling the preachers this morning about it, is 45 minutes later, I was sitting in front of my dad, who lived like the devil his whole life. And the Lord had worked on me for 2 years to get my heart right so I could go talk to him and love him and actually care for him. And 45 minutes later, if I had not have made that decision right there, if I had not have waited those 7 years for God to show me. See, sometimes we get way too much of a hurry to do things. And we missed the whole thing. You know, right here, the king of Israel was probably worried. He said, we've been going through this famine. Now we got Ben-Hadad out here, and we're broke, and we're dying, and he's surrounded, and there's no food, and it's all God's fault. Have you ever thought that maybe God allows that stuff in our lives to teach us something? He's going to bring it to an end. You can bet your bottom dollar it's going to come to an end. Those guys studied, and they didn't have no idea. You know, they had no clue. The men inside would have never depended on four lepers outside to solve their problem. They would have never even thought about it. But Elisha said, your problem's going to be over tomorrow. They studied the situation. Then verse 4 says, they selected. I got a little note here. They selected and surrendered. You know, sometimes you just got to choose the lesser of three evils and do it. Don't just sit there. I like the way they said it. If we sit here still... we die also. They die, man. You know, you can't just, no matter what's going on in this world right now, you cannot sit still. Right. God never intended any one of us in here to sit still. There is a way. I was talking to a brother here recently, and he said, there's always a way to reach somebody if you want to reach it. There's always a way. Okay, so what? They take away whatever they say they take away, and then you got to do this, and you got to do this. Fine. There is a way. I was in the Navy, and I had a track rack on the mess decks. I had a chaplain ask me to start a church, and we started the only church in the United States Navy. King James Bible Baptist Church Service was on the USS Ponce, was on there for 25 years. And I sit there, and we started that thing, and I had a track rack on the mess decks, about this big around, about that tall. It was a chick track rack. And I had, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 tracks on each level. So there was probably about 25 to 30 different tracks on this thing. And I would put that thing right on the mess decks, right where the people came back down through there, and they'd go down the chow line. And I could not keep that track rack with tracks on it. Every day I had to fill that thing 2 or 3 times. 1,000 men would walk by that track rack every single day and take every track off that track rack. I had guys on that ship that you could open their lockers, kids, they'd open their lockers and you could pull out out a stack of tracks like that, and that you could pull one out of it and just show him Holy Joe, and the kid would tell you the story without even cracking the track. I can't even tell you how many times I went, you'd pull another one out of it, This Is Your Life, and they'd tell you the story without cracking the track. You know what? They've read that thing. I remember when I was sitting on that ship, I was just sitting there and I thinking, oh God, I had a guy tell me I was the only Christian on a ship with 1,000 men. What do? You find a way. You find a way to serve God no matter what happens. You find a way. And you don't let them tell you no. Who cares if you got leprosy, man? You can still be used of God. I was a leper, man. They didn't like me at all, man. You're talking about odd. They didn't want nothing to do with me. They called us the God squad on the ship. They tried to cut us down. But I tell you what, one day, one guy handed out the wrong chick track. He handed out a death cookie to a Catholic, or ended up on the Catholic captain's hand. And the captain called me and the chaplain up on, because the captain knew that was my track record on the mess decks. And he didn't get mad at me. He got mad at the chaplain because the chaplain was going to let me do it. So I'm up on the bridge, parade rest just like this. It was either the death cookie or why is Mary crying? I forget which one it was, but either one's just as good as the other one. They both serve the same purpose. They tell Catholics you're in trouble. And the captain's sitting in his chair over there. I was always on the bridge in trouble. Captain's sitting in his chair over here, and the XO's in his chair over here, and I'm sitting here to parade rest, and captain opens that track up and says, Chaplain Downing. He goes, yeah, Captain. He goes, this track says I'm going to hell, Captain. The whole bridge is full of people. And he reads that whole track, man, to everybody on that bridge. I'm sitting here laughing. I'm like, God, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen in my life. And you know what he did? He made me take that track rack down. He said, Elliot, you can't have the track rack on your on the ship anymore, on the mess decks, because somebody passed this track. I wanted to kill the guy who did that. But that's okay. I sit there and said, Lord, I said, what am I going to do? He said, you got a shirt pocket? I said, yeah. It's okay. So I filled my shirt pocket with every kind of chick track I could have, man. And my pocket came out to like here. And guys would come and say, Elliot, it was a blessing. It would have a whole ship full of people looking for those tracks. I said, Captain told me I can't pass them out no more. Somebody passed out the wrong one. So I got a bunch of them. I just can't pass them out. I said, right there. But I can't give them out. You can look at them if you want. You can have one. I just can't give you one. Them guys would go, it looked like they were going through a filing cabinet in my shirt. I had to put new tracks in my, I had to go down there and get new ones all the time. I had to keep my pocket full of them because you never know who you're going to meet in the passageways on that ship. And they want a track, man. I'm like, fine. I remember one guy one day sitting in his little rack and I'm trying to sleep, getting ready for mid-watch, and he goes, hey, Elliot. I mean, the whole room, man, 90 guys in there. He goes, guess what I just did? And I heard his curtain go sideways. He had a chick track in his hand. He goes, I just trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Yeah. I mean, you sit there, brother, and you start looking at him and say, wait, can a leper? Yeah, you know, a leper can do a lot of things. Amen. Just because everybody else is telling you and saying, oh, the whole world's falling apart and go, oh, we're going to get Biden for president. Oh, it could be worse, man. You could have me for president. That could be real bad. Beth could be, well, it'd be okay because the first lady would be Beth. That wouldn't be too bad. She would keep the White House clean. She's a great wife, man. She takes a lot of abuse from me. But you know, you sit there and look at that thing, you say, I got to find a way. These guys selected. They selected one of three ways that they had. We stay here, they're not going to feed us. If we go inside, we can't get inside. They're not going to let us inside. They'll kill us if we go inside. If we stay here, we die. Let's take a chance and go out where the Syrians are. They just, you know, if they went out there as four lepers, the Syrians are probably going to kill them anyways. I don't think they would even take care of lepers. Why? They're not of any value to them. And those guys chose to go out there, all four of them. It says, if we enter the city, and they mention that, and he says, now therefore come, verse 4, the end of the verse, and says, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. You know, you got to get to the place sometimes where your life, just let it go, man. Just let it go. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times in my life where I've got to the point where the Lord has constantly brought me to a point, and he goes, Mike, you got to go. I tell my church all the time, I think my Christian life is like this platform right here. When I first got saved, I was standing down here, and I didn't know what to do, and the Lord says, Mike, you need to get saved. I'm like, Lord, I don't know how to get saved. To trust him with faith, to get by faith, only by faith, He says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. You got to get in your, you got to trust him. You got to have the faith. I don't have the faith. He said, trust me. So you trust him and you go up one step. But if that's not the end of it, then the next one is sitting right here. He goes, now, he says, you got to believe that Bible's the word of God. I said, oh, Lord, but the word. He said, you got to believe it. Come more faith. You got more faith. And you keep going up steps. And as life goes on, what you'll do is find out your life is like a bunch of stair steps. And each one, there's no difference in that first stair step that I had when I first got saved than the last one I'm on right here, right now. There's still a growth period that I got to grow past. And it's just as hard to take that next step up here than it was down there. These guys are sitting here saying, I've got to go. I can't stay here. You know, God like this says, come now, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I said, man. I said, Lord, you know, I used to smoke. I like smoking. I think I still do. But I can't because the Lord took it away. And I know the moment I pick up a cigarette and stick it in my mouth, cancer, only cancer right there. Right? I mean, if I stuck a cigarette in my mouth right now, I probably won't have to light it. You just, cancer. And you say, why would he do that? Well, I was sitting in radio one day, and I smoked a pack and a half, maybe two packs of cigarettes a day. And Fritz Biederstadt, my good old buddy, German buddy, was sitting there, got me back in my Bible, and you give me a cup of coffee and a broken piece of gear, man. I used to close this eye all the time. Cigarette hanging right here. And the ashes would burn all the way up. I wouldn't even take a puff off that thing. And the cigarette, I'd have the filter in my mouth, and the ashes would be there. And somebody would say something, I'd do this, and the whole ash would fall inside the equipment. And Senior Chief Franklin called me up here. I can't even tell you how many times he called me up radio. Elliot, get up the radio right now. Goes, yeah, sure, no problem. What do you want? I go in and he opened it. That's you, man. Nobody could do that but you. That's you. You're not supposed to smoke while you're working on equipment. I said, yeah, okay, Senior Chief, sir. I won't ever do that again. And he'd call me up later and chew me out again. Anyways, Fritz said, he walked up to me with a smile on his face. You know, sometimes as a Christian with a smile on your face, we'll get more done than with a snarl. Fritz looked at me and said, Mike, I didn't know you smoked. Now, I mean, I worked just as close to you as I him, 8 to 10 hours a day, 365 days a year. Don't tell me that guy didn't know I smoked. Yeah. I smoked a pack. You smoke, don't even come around me. I can smell it, man. My wife, if I don't smell it, she'll smell it a mile away. So I'm sitting there. I said, oh, who cares, man? Get out of my face. If you would have come up to me and said, what? No, you're not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have God, and you're not your own. For you're bought with a price, I would have... I was saved, by the way. I would have blew smoke right in your face. I didn't care. I did what I wanted to do, and I knew Jesus was with me. I think he was with me every cigarette I ever smoked. You say, that's crazy. No, man. You know, you get so close to him sometimes, there's things I just don't think he looks at. Yet. Right. Yet. Right. So I'm sitting there going, that's weird. I scratched my head. I said, how could he not know I smoke, man? That's a strange thing. So I leave there, go upstairs, sit in ET shop, and I'm sitting there at the desk getting ready to do a work, and I'm pop out a cigarette out of my pocket, Marlboro Light, stick it in my mouth, reach in my pocket, get my Cricket lighter. I remember it. I went, and had that flame go, and I was about ready to light that cigarette, and that verse went through my head. Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. I said, oh, man. I said, every time that verse comes up, something happens. All right, what? He said, Lord, what do you want? What do you want? He says, Mike, he says, you like talking about me? I said, man, about you. He goes, how much do you like to? I said, man, I said, this is the greatest thing in the whole wide world. I said, Lord, you have the answers for everything. I mean, everything. I said, you can fix all the electronic gear. Everything I fix, you let me fix. I already know that, so I know it's not me. I said, I know it's you. I know it's you. I said, and then I tell somebody about you, and the lost people get saved, and they get to go to heaven forever. I said, what greater thing would there be to tell anybody about other than you? He goes, what do you think about that cigarette hanging out of your mouth? I said, why'd you have to bring that up? And he goes, don't you think? I said, yeah, they probably do think it's bad. I said, I understand what you're saying. You know, sometimes you got to reason in your mind when you talk to the Lord. You got to talk to him like he's right there with you. And he goes, so what do you think about that? I said, so tell you what I'll do. He says, what do you want to do? I said, I'm going to put that cigarette up for 5 minutes. 5 minutes, I'm going to yank that thing out. I'm going to smoke it. And he goes, okay, let's do that. That was 1985. I haven't touched one since. You say, a week, every morning I'd change my shirt. I really did. Navy guys, they all don't stink. I'd take a shower, change my shirt. I'd take that pack of cigarettes out and put it in my pocket, knowing I was going to smoke one that day. 7 days later, I looked at that pack of cigarettes and I said, man, said, I haven't touched these things for 7 days. And the Lord said, yeah, just get rid of them. I went to my locker and got a carton of cigarettes. Them things cost me $3, man. $3. I talked to a guy the other day. He said $7 a pack. I'm like, you guys are nuts, man. I'd never spend $7 a pack. I probably would. And I picked that carton up, and I was going to give it to somebody or sell it. I was going to try to get my $3 back is what I was going to try to do. And the Lord said, so you're going to give your sin to somebody else? I'm like, oh, Lord, that's $3, man. That's $3. Now, see, some of y'all wouldn't even care about $3. To me, I hate wasting money. I think you waste money, man, you're a nut. But I went over to the side of the ship, and away those cigarettes went. I quit drinking in 1984, close the same way. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why in the world did you wait so long to take cigarettes and drinking? I mean, why couldn't you have taken it like you did the drugs that night on that back porch in 1980? He just said, Mike, and the thought went right through my head, is Mike, you'd have thought you were something you weren't. And you're going to run across people your whole life that are struggling through life on different things. And I don't take it out of their life. And you would have thought you were something special because I did it for you. He goes, man, you know, sometimes God allows things to be. These four lepers, I tell you, I don't think they wanted to be lepers. They never wanted to be a leper. I wouldn't have wanted to be a leper. They didn't want to be that. But they had no idea that they were going to be the redeeming factor God used to save Israel. They had no idea. Brethren, sometimes what God runs you through is going to be the redeeming factor for somebody else. You just got to hang in there until God finishes his work. These four guys are sitting there, they're all fingerless. I don't know if they got fingers or noses or toes. I don't know what they got. You know what I do know? That this is about 600, maybe 600 years before Christ. 606, 610, something like that. I don't have my Scofield Bible. If anybody's got a date, let me know. But it's been 2,000 years. I know for about 2,600 years, these four guys really haven't cared one bit about them being a leper. You know why? Because they're gone. By all that, I would think they're in heaven. I think they're up in heaven with the Lord. I think when the Lord came, went down to Abraham's bosom, took him, I got a strange feeling these four guys were down there. And all four of them ended up in heaven. Now, I could be wrong. That's a Mikeism. I could be totally wrong about that. But these four men, for what they did, I got the strangest feeling, man, that they're in heaven because of their heart, the way they did some other things after this. They selected and surrendered. They said, let's go out to the Assyrians, see what they do. And then they started. It isn't just deciding what to do. It's actually doing it. Sometimes you just have to say, I'm going to go do it. And you got to get over your fears. I'm sure these guys were scared to death, man. Look, we're lepers. Woo, woo, woo. We're lepers. It's bad enough they won't let us come in the city. They'll throw rocks at us and hit us with stones. And we got unclean. That's what I told my mom. I said, Mom, if you go outside, she says, I can't go outside. I said, good, just go outside. I said, you got COVID. Who really cares? Just go, unclean, unclean. And threw it up and down the streets. And everybody will stay away from you. They won't know what you're talking about, but they'll think you're crazy, and they'll just get away. I said, you won't have to worry about giving it to nobody. But they started on their journey. It says, and they rose up in the twilight. They just got up and went. They said, we're going to take a chance. You know, have you ever just took a chance for God? Brother, you know the most exciting times in my life is when I've taken a chance for God. I just watch, and year after year after year, you know it's easier? I find it easier and easier as years go on to take chances for him. And just, if I in my heart, I know that's what he wants. It's not what anybody else says anymore. I'm reading my Bible, and I'm trying to keep it in context and keep it right where it belongs, and I'm in the right dispensation, and I got all that stuff down where I belong, and here's verses to me, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is telling me something, and he's saying, do this thing, do this thing, do this thing. I'm like, I'm going to try it. I said, I think you got the wrong person, man, but I'm going to try it anyways. I'll give anything a shot once or twice. And you know what I found out is that thing just flows, man. God, if he tells you what to do, you can bet your bottom dollar he's going to take care of the problem all the way to the end. The problem is he just doesn't tell us when the end is. You just got to wait. He already knows what the end is going to be. He already knows exactly what he wants to get out of it. He knows what he wants us to do. I like, man, Joseph is one of my favorite. All of them, I like them all, man. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel didn't care one bit about going to the lion's den. You tell him he ain't going to pray to God. You know what he's going to do? He's going to pray to God anyways. I don't care if you get mad at me. Go get mad at me. He's bigger than all of us. King said, I'm going to throw you in the lion. I got to throw you, Daniel. I didn't want to, but your God will take care of you. You know, Daniel had a testimony before his king. And his king knew. He said, I done blew it, but I done said something I got to stick by. Daniel, your God will take care of you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego gets thrown in the fiery furnace. They said, look, king, I don't care. If God wants to deliver us, he'll deliver me. And if he don't, he will save us. We will be done. We will be in heaven. It's over. They get thrown in, and guess who's in there waiting for them? Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't care who you go to. Moses, the Lord says, Moses, hold that stick up. Man, I like all them stories. Hold that stick up. And he holds it up, man, and the ocean just, I don't think it was no bitter lakes, little, this. Forget that garbage. I think it was the deepest part of the Red Sea, and he did that. I think the Lord brought him down on that Red Sea where it's the deepest and the furthest across, and he held that stick out, and the water just walled up, and the land was dry. I think it's an amazing thing that Pharaoh would even go in behind that. If you can't open that thing up and you had no part of opening that thing up, why would you go behind that? What a stupid idiot you are. I would have said, whoa, I'm backing up here, man. I ain't going to do this. Let him do his thing. Let him do his thing. You know what these four guys did? They're like you and me. They just normal everyday people. Just things went wrong. Things always go wrong in our lives sometimes. It just happens. They got leprosy, and you know, it started a little thing on their body somewhere, and pretty soon it engulfed their whole body, and they're sitting outside the gate, and they can't go back in, and they're separated, and you think it's all over, but it's not for these guys. Amen. They were surprised. The whole army sitting out there. Brethren, so many times we leave God out of the mix when we're doing stuff, and you're missing it. I'm telling you, you're missing it. If you don't do this, you're missing it. God is in the middle. If he worries about the moment you wake up in the morning to the time you go, if he knows the very hairs on your head, amen, then he cares about everything about you. And he cares where you put your feet, and he cares who comes up against you. But sometimes he tries to make us stronger and stronger and stronger. I tell the story at my church all the time. Esther should have died, my little daughter right there. She shouldn't be here today. They told me that when she was born, she had a very rare liver problem, and they finally figured the thing out after a little while, and it was a miraculous. If I went through that whole story and told you how they figured that thing out, it would blow your mind. And I'm just sitting here watching it. And the Lord, before all of this stuff, when I knew she was real sick and Beth was sick and they thought both of them were going to die, I was sitting there somewhere along the path, and I was sitting there thinking, and it's like the Lord walking in the room. And he said, Mike, he said, it's time to grow up. I said, but I've been saved for 21 years. He goes, I know. He goes, but it's time to grow up. I said, but I thought I was growing up. He goes, no, you're not growing up yet. And you ain't going to be growing up really after this one either, but it's time to grow up a little bit more. And he goes, I said, but Lord, I've done all this stuff in 21 years, and you've done all this stuff to me in 21 years. And Lord, I'm still here after 21 years. And he goes, I know. He said, but it never stops. And I said, but Lord, he goes, you need to trust me. I said, but Lord, they're telling me my wife's going to die, my baby's going to die, they could die. And they said, my little baby's got something really bad wrong with her and she's going to die. Or have a liver transplant. There's no other options. That all the little girls that she has that have that, that's what happens to them. They die. Or they have a liver transplant. He said, trust me. So, okay, here's the deal I'm going to make with you. I always make deals with him. I don't know about you, I just make deals. I think you got to make a deal. Somewhere you got to come along somewhere and just say something. And I said, Lord, if whatever them doctors tell me, that's what I'm going to do. You just tell me and that's what I'm going to do. So you better be telling them doctors what to do. And they'd come down there and say, well, Mr. Elliott, Beth delivered the baby. Everything went, she got okay. And I mean, I thought she was going to die, man. Like she was shaking all over the place. And Esther came out and her little heart racing all over the place. She thought she was going to die of congestive heart failure. And they finally found out it was her liver was diseased and they had to take it out or they were going to. And every day they'd say, Mr. Elliott, what do you want to do? And I said, well, what do y'all want to do? They said, well, we want to wait till she goes over the edge. I said, can we have part of yours? I said, sure, take all you want, man. And they go, no, you're big and fat. Your liver is bigger than she is. And the part we need is just too big for her little body. But we'll find one. When that little baby goes over the side, and she's going to go over the edge. She's going to go over the edge. I had a room full of doctors more than what y'all are in here. And I had transplant specialists, liver transplants, people who were going to get the transplant, the whole doctor, the operating room people. I mean, just table full of them. It looked like the Mary's Supper of the Lamb down through there. And you say, what is all that? Well, God was sitting here trying to teach me something. He said, what are you going to do? They said, Mr. Elliott, what do you want to do? I said, what do y'all want to do? They go, well, we're going to wait till she goes over the edge. I said, then we'll wait. And day after day after day after day, Beth would go down there every day. I'd take care of all the kids up there, and it just got crazier and crazier. One day they put, school called. Said, "Hey, Mr. Elliott, we know that you have a sick kid." I said, "Yeah." They said, "And you're trying to take care of your kids." I said, "Yeah." And your wife is is down there always trying to take care of the little baby. I said, "Yeah." They said, "Well, we got a school over here. Why don't you put your kids in our school until your baby gets better, and then y'all can get on your feet again." I didn't even know who they were. I had no idea who they were. One of the best friends worked over there, mentioned her to them, and they called us. So we were over there for 5 years after that. Beth learned how to work in a kitchen there. You know what we do? We do a camp. Because of that little girl over there, a whole scenario of things occurred that would have never occurred because of that. One day, we go back in the hospital, and we do that. We put our kids in school so they can take care of them, and Beth can get down there and take care of Esther. And we get over there, and I go down there, and I walk in, and the doctor's face looks different than it always did before. And I'm thinking, "Oh, it's going to get bad today." And he goes, "Mr. Elliott." I said, "Yes." He goes, "Something happened strange." I said, "What?" He goes, "Esther went that away." He goes, "You know she's the only little baby that's ever lived with what she has without a liver transplant or dying?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I don't know how that happened." I said, "I do." "I can tell you how that happened. Jesus Christ did that, you know." And he just chose. You know what? A lot of people, they wanted me to get $1 million. They wanted me to go out online and beg everybody for money for my little girl to have a. I said, "No, I ain't going to do it, man." I said, "That one's God's. That's God's girl right there." And I said, "I got four over here that's healthy, but that one's his. As a matter of fact, they're all four his anyways. None of them's mine. Nothing's mine. I done put it all through my ear. I'm his. I'm serving. I'm his." I said, "But this one's definitely his." And I said, "Lord, you do whatever you want." I went into church and told him. I said, the night that they told me all this was going on, I raised my hand and said, "I'm going to give a testimony." I said, "They told me my baby and my wife could die, but if they do, I want you all to know that tomorrow morning, God's still my God. And he's going to be my God after that. And I'm going to still follow him and I'm going to still love him just like I do today because he's given me things that nobody else can give me." They thought I was crazy. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians today? We never get into a place in our lives where this stuff can have an effect on us to where we can say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand why you let these things in my life." Well, we go to camp. I told you that I would never thought nothing about it. 10 years later, we go to camp. And at the camp they have up there, they got a kitchen. And my wife and another lady, we worked in the kitchen for a long, long time over at that school, come up here and started cooking for a bunch of kids coming to camp. And they continued that thing on, and these ladies get up. And I sit there and said, "Lord, you know, they would have never learned the inside of a kitchen and feeding 150, 200 kids every day, three times for lunch and breakfast." And I said, "You trained her for camp work 10 years later. I said, "How does that work?" He says, "You follow me, and you just do what I tell you to do moment by moment, and I'll finish it when I'm done. And you just have to trust me." You know what these four lepers did? As I'm going down through this story, they trusted him. They said, "Look, we don't know what else to do. We're just going to go out here and we're just going to trust. We're going to put our hands in the hands of the Syrians." They were surprised. And when those lepers came to the uttermost parts of the camp, they went in. You know, the day before that, Elisha said, "Tomorrow, this is going to happen." Nobody believed him. You know, God has told us some great things. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You know, one of these days, this is going to be over. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, "I would not that you be ignorant, brethren." He goes down there and starts talking about the rapture. In Matthew 28:18, he says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." All through your Bible, you have promise after promise after promise after promise. And you know, sometimes the Ben-Hadads in our life and the things that surround us out here, well, they seem so great, we start forgetting those little promises that "I'll take care of you. Mike, I'll take care of you. Did I take care of Daniel?" I said, "Yeah, man, you took care of him good. I bet you slept all night on the biggest, fluffiest lion down there. I bet you brought him the biggest one.
and you said, go over and lay down. And then the other ones came over after he lay down, they covered him up. And they, I'm sitting there, man, it's good. I said, and in the fire, you gave them the fireproof clothes, and they didn't even smell or stink or anything, man. I said, you were sitting inside with them. The whole time, you were sitting inside there with them. And they couldn't, fire couldn't touch them, Lord. I said, you took care of Moses when he went. You ever know Moses goes in front of Pharaoh? He's up on a mountain. Said, Lord, I can't do that. I mean, that's Pharaoh. If I go in there, he's going to kill me. And Moses knew all that stuff in the back of his mind. Finally, the Lord convinced him, and Moses walks in there and does exactly what God wants to do and delivers 2 million Jews. Hebrews out of Egypt, gets them across the Red Sea, takes 40 years out in the desert, takes them into the promised land. He didn't get to go in, but they did. You say, what is it? That's just time. They were surprised. It says silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it. The initial thing in their mind was, man, look at all what we got. And then all of a sudden they thought, well, what am I going to do for everybody else that's back in the city? So I got some friends in there, man. They rejected me because I got leprosy, but I still got some friends. You know, sometimes you'll help people that hurt you. Sometimes there's going to be a lot of people that hurt you, but you can still help them. God will get you through life to put you over the edge so that you're on a different plane than everybody else, and you can learn how to forgive them just like Jesus forgave you. I can't tell you, man. I watched my dad that night when he turned his heart back over to Jesus. If I had not went through that 7 years of what he put me through, I would have never got to the place where I could sit down with my dad. I hated his guts. But the Lord taught me about the last year of that thing how to love him and that he was just a man like everybody else. You know, this world is just full of people, and a lot of them are hurt, and sometimes you won't know what kind of hurt they've been through. You'll never know what they went through. All you got to do is know they're hurt. You know what they're looking for is somebody to help them. Somebody that'll just have a little compassion on them. Somebody who'll just love them for a minute. So many times we just point our fingers at them and we reject them because of who or what we think and never give them the chance. You know what God does? He gives them a chance. You know, he gave these four lepers a chance. He said, hey, here's the problem. I need somebody to go out there and do it. Will you do it? They probably didn't even know God was talking to them. They just did it. They sympathized. Then they said one to another, all four of them sitting there looking at each other, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. As we hold our peace. We shouldn't hold our peace. We shouldn't either. No matter what we've been through this year, this is chump change. Who cares, man? You know what you got? You got Jesus.
Amen.
Why would we need? I like that song, Complete in Thee. They play that. The kids down there, well, I say kids, they're not kids anymore. The one will get on a piano, and then they'll get a violin and a cello and a viola and a bass, and they'll get the string, or what they call those things, the bow, and they'll play that song, man. I'm telling you what, it'll raise hairs on your head when you just hear just nothing but music, and they sing that song and sing it. It'll drive you up a wall because you're complete in Him, in Him. Your whole life will change. Adrian Rogers, when he said that, he said, you get a hold of a truth, it'll change your life. What the Lord wants you to do is get a hold of a truth that I can take care of you. You don't need anybody else on this planet to take care of you. You know, everything, you start thinking about it. I was talking to Brother Evans and about getting some wood from him, and he said somebody gave him the rights on 400 acres of woods to cut it. That's a blessing. You know what that is? That's God. You could go out there and try to buy it. He said, no, here's 400 acres. Just go out there and cut all you want. You know what he's doing? He's taking care of you. Now, sometimes we have to do something to be a part of that. But you let it go. These guys had to go out there. They sympathized. They went back and told their brothers. The Lord sought for somebody to bring salvation to those Jews in that city. They were all scared. They were all hurting. They were all afraid. They sent Ben-Hadad out there. They thought, we go out there, he's going to kill us all. Their problem was already gone. And they still had fear. You know, a lot of time our problem will disappear, but we won't let go of the fear. Because we don't know it's gone. But it's already gone. You know, if you get to the place where you just trust the Lord the best you can, you realize that the fear goes out. Great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend. You'll let that thing go, and you'll just sit there like Daniel and say, throw me in. My heroes are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Phinehas. Those are my heroes. It's not some football player out there. It's not some basketball player. It's not the President of the United States. It's those men in the Bible. It's Peter. You know why I love Peter? Because Peter got nailed. Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Could you imagine the Lord looking back like this at him? and not saying a word, and Peter just going out weeping bitterly. Oh, I just failed him. I messed him up. And then he meets him out there in the ocean. He says, hey, Peter. Hey, you guys caught any fish? You're fishing on the wrong side. Throw your nets over. They knew exactly what it was at that point. He's a walking, talking. How about Mary Magdalene, man, coming to the, looking for the body of Jesus, man. She's, just tell me where you put him. Where you, Mary? And she heard that voice, and she turned around and said, Rabboni. I mean, she just, I was like, it's you, man. Don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended. I got to go see my father, your father. Go tell everybody I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. You know, that's a promise. Amen. That's all you, he's going to take care of you. If you're in here tonight and you're saved and you know you're saved, he's going to take care of you. Now, it may not be in your time. It's going to be in his time. But I'm going to tell you, over 40 years, I watched this time work out just right every time. If I hadn't waited the 7 years to talk to my dad, I wouldn't have found 2 more years. I wouldn't have found my wife. You know what God does? Sometimes he works all this stuff out of your life. I was sitting there driving down the road. I met Beth, and I knew she was going to be it. How could she turn me down? I mean, it's really, if you honestly look at me, I mean, she could not do it. And I knew it, man. I said, this girl, I mean, if she lets me go, she is like lost it, man. I mean, look at the catch she's going to get. I got a really good catch, too, but I have to say that from time to time because she told me not to brag on her anymore, so I'm trying to take it off of her. But I was sitting here scared to death to ask her to marry me. I said, man, if I ask her to marry me, and she says no, I'm going to feel really bad. And we were good friends, and then I'd lose her as a friend, and I was scared, man. We was driving down the road. I was taking her to her favorite place over in one of the campgrounds or one of the forest out there. She liked going to this forest. There's a special bridge she liked going to, and I thought I'd take her out there, and I had the ring. I remember the Lord told me that he was going to give me a wife. I didn't even know who she was, and I was sitting there with like a plate and a fork and a knife at a table, and I had my diamond rings. I had everything, man. I had a house, everything. No wife. I didn't even know where she's at on the planet, but he said he's going to give me one. He said, I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. I said, okay, got it, man. Where's it at? Where's the meat? I think it's got it here somewhere. And you just wait. The Lord says, wait. That was 2 more years. I said, man, I said, where's she at? You told me to do this. I went to Jerusalem, man. And I bought my diamonds for her in Jerusalem. But it was actually, yeah. And I went down, it's Haifa, Israel. It wasn't Jerusalem, it's Haifa. And I had an old Jew teach me how to look at diamonds. I thought he was joking, man. He really taught me how to look at them, man. And I got them, and I was just sitting there. I had everything, man. I'm like waiting and waiting and waiting. And one day I come up here, and there she is. And I know she's the one. I know she is, but I didn't have enough confidence to believe her. That believed the Lord was going to do this. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm just scared to death. If I ask her, and she says, no, it's going to be a bad day. Nobody's ever said no to me. And she's, if she does, this is going to be bad, man. I said, I'm going to fall apart. And I look at her rearview mirror, and there's this car way back there. I'm like, that's a weird car. And it gets over in the other lane, just a little two-lane highway, you know, doing this. And there's nobody coming. I said, man, this guy gets over. It seems like for like a mile back, he's over in the other lane. And he's going to pass me, and he's going real super slow. And I'm like, well, this is a moron, man. What's he doing? He's going to get killed if somebody comes over. They're going to kill him. And he gets right up beside me. And he's going real, real slow. And I'm like, this guy's nuts, man. He goes right by, and he's got this little bumper sticker, and it says, just do it. I'm like, okay, I'll do it, man. I'll ask her. You know, I asked her. She said yes. I think God uses bumper stickers. If you got one on your car, I think he uses it. You know, sometimes in life, God uses the strangest things to get us to get over a little edge. And you know what he said? He says, Mike, out there somewhere, you're going to have 5 kids. And out there, one of them is going to get sick. And out there somewhere, this problem is going to happen. And out there somewhere, this. But I'm going to get you through all of it. And then you're going to be 63. I can't believe I'm going to be 63 in a couple days. He said, you're going to be 63. I feel like I'm 15 years old still. My mind, my body says you're not. But my mind says I am. And he says, I'm going to get you through all that. And for 63 years, he's got me through it. He's going to get me through it to the end. Young people, you know what you need to know? God can get you through it. The one sitting next to you may not. The one sitting next to you may actually hurt you someday. You may think your mom and dad don't love you, but sometimes you just got to put yourself in their position, see what they go through, and then all of a sudden you can realize it's not as easy as you think. I couldn't make it through this world without Jesus Christ. These guys sought the Lord. It says, for the Lord of the hosts of Syrians, he said he brought a noise. Last night I talked about another band. The Lord went out there and killed 185,000 of their soldiers. The people woke up and they were dead. You know, do you realize God can take care of you? I like that song. God can take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. You know, he'll do that. Got a couple things here. Never underestimate the mercy and the promises of the Lord. Never underestimate them. Wait on the Lord. I say wait. If you're not 100% sure what God wants, believe me, the devil out here knows exactly what you feel like you need, and he'll try to provide it. And next thing you know, you'll be off the wayside. 40 years, you know what I've noticed? A lot of people go off the wayside and never come back. Stay there. If he said he would bring it to pass, he will bring it to pass. All you have to do is wait on it. It might be 15 minutes. It might be 15 years. Who cares? I thank God that he made me wait 9 years for my wife. You say, why? Because we've had 30 years of fun. Me and her has had 30 years of fun. Now, you ask my kids, they wouldn't necessarily attest to that. Because they would think, well, Mom and Dad, every now and then, they get into this really knockdown. We don't get a knockdown drag out. She knows she'd lose. But in any case, she still has her ways, and I have my ways. And I have to prove to her that my ways is right. And then I go off to the side and repent and get all that other stuff. But you know what? If I didn't wait 9 years, I'm thinking, Lord, that 30 years could have been a living hell. But boy, it's been heaven on earth for me. And everything that I've ever been able to accomplish is because of what she's helped me do. And that's because the Lord told me to wait for her. Why? Because I'm complete in thee, in him, not me. Sometimes all he wants to see is if you really trust him. You may just be the one that brings salvation to some lost soul. You might be the one. The four lepers probably never thought that in a million years that they were going to be the ones to do it. But boy, man, when they went back and said, hey, up on the wall, you ain't going to believe this, but them suckers are gone. I mean, they like left everything. Oh, no, there ain't no way. No, I'm telling you, man, it's all out there. Go, you ought to go see. I mean, there's gold and there's food and there's silver and there's raiment and there's tents and there's camels, there's horses, there's donkeys. There's everything out there, right out there, right over the hill, man. All you have to do is go out there and get it. God's done. Run them all off. He did that to Gideon. He sent 300 men down there. I'm still trying to this day figure out how in the world that one guy down that camp goes, It's the host of Gideon. A bramble goes across the thing. It's Gideon. How did you figure that out, man? I don't know. He did. Scared them all to death. Next thing you know, they're all fighting each other, killing each other, and Gideon wins. 300 people against innumerable odds. Brother, God and you is a majority. I'll say this. I'll be done. To the potter's house, I went down one day and watched him while he molded the vessels of clay. And many a wondrous lessons I drew as I noted the process the clay went through. Trampled and broken, downtrodden and rolled, to render more plastic and fit for the mold. How like the clay that human is, or how like the clay that is human, I thought, when in heaven's hands to perfection it brought. For self must be cast at the dust of his feet, before it is ready for service made meet. And pride must be broken, and self will be lost, and laid on the altar, whatever the cost. But lo, by and by, a delicate vase of wonderful beauty and exquisite grace. Was it once the vile clay? Ah, yes, yet how strange the potter has wrought so marvelous a change. Not a trace of the earth, nor mark of the clay, the fire of the furnace has burned it away. Wondrous skill of the potter, the praise is his due, in whose hand to perfection and beauty it grew. Thus, with souls lying still, content in God's hands, that do not his power of working withstand, they are molded and fitted, a treasure to hold, vile clay now transformed into the purest gold. I read that thing one time, I said, man, Lord, that's us. I said, you took us, and you come to one day, and you found this lump of clay that was just no good, and you started screaming. Have you ever made something out of clay? I used to do it in high school, and you'd make it, and if you don't do it the right way, you get air pockets in, you put it in to furnace too soon, it'd blow up. So you had to work all the air bubbles out of everything, man. You had to know, you had to feel it. You had to know that when you're done with it, that it's ready to go into the fire. You know, sometimes we just got to wait to go into the fire. You're not ready sometimes. And God, the hands of the potter, you go over and read Jeremiah, he took him down to the potter's house to show him. And sometimes the vessel gets a little marred and he has to straighten it out. But when he gets it to the place where the potter knows that that thing can handle what he's going to run you through, he'll put you in the fire and he's going to come out with a vessel that's meat for the master's use. Brother, I don't know about you, but boy, you know what I want? 2020, I want to be a vessel for the master's use. I said, you do to me whatever you got to do. I'm okay. I said, you do. I said, I'd rather you do it to me than anybody else. Just do it to me. I like Ezekiel 23:30. I'm finished. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge to stand in the gap before me for the land. You know what this country needs today? It needs some men and women that will stand in the gap for him. He says that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Father, thank you for your blessings.